Well, let's get back to our broadcast partners. We promised we would talk with David Dolan about a Middle East news update and what is going on in that part of the world. David, there's a lot of news focusing on the former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. He has lingered for 8 years in a coma. Within days, he's been lingering close to death. Funeral plans have been made. Talk to us just a few moments. I know that you, in the past, had a relationship with Sharon and, in fact, did write a piece, a opinion piece for the Jerusalem Post about this man. But just talk maybe briefly about the funeral plans, but what about the man himself?
Well, Jimmy, yes, they are planning a full state funeral. The Prime Minister's office is in charge of that. They're expecting many world leaders to come to the funeral. It'll be interesting to see if President Obama is among them or not. He obviously went to Nelson Mandela's funeral in South Africa late last year, and we'll see. But he was a great leader of Israel, no doubt about it. His last act, of course, pulling Israeli soldiers and civilians out of the Gaza Strip was extremely controversial, was quite different from the earlier things that he had done. He was called the bulldozer, who basically set up a lot of the communities, the settlements in the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria, after the Likud came to power in 1977, and Menachem Begin appointed him defense minister, even though that wasn't his main field as defense minister, building new communities, but that's what he actually did. And so he's beloved amongst the people that live in those areas. And really, pretty much all Israelis considered him a great leader, even if they disagreed with his more conservative, nationalistic positions. He still was recognized as a great leader. And I did have the privilege for me, really, of writing an editorial for the Jerusalem Post. I think it was about 1987, 88. I have a copy of it in my drawer, so I could check the date, but in which I said that he will come back as a leader, because, of course, at that time, in the early 80s, he was disgraced when the Sabra and Shatila massacres took place up in South Beirut. That, of course, was not carried out by Israel, but by Lebanese Maronite Catholic militia forces, but allied with Israel. And the charge was that Sharon should have known that they would do such carnage and should have prevented it. He claimed, and still to his death, said, to the time of his stroke in 2005, said that he wasn't responsible for that, didn't know in advance that that would happen. And I just wrote and said that he will come back, I said, as a leader of Israel. He will again be on the national stage and do things. And I recounted some of the experiences I had with him covering the war in Lebanon. And not that the two of us were walking around together, but I saw him up there and spoke with him and was at press conferences and things. And it's a sad day for Israel to see him go, but everyone knew, of course, that he wouldn't recover from the massive stroke that he suffered. Actually, it was this month, January of 2006. So it will be interesting, again, to see who comes to his state funeral and who stays away. But it is a great loss for Israel, not unexpected, but still a great loss for the country.
And a major news story there in Israel at this point in time. David, let's see if we can do some rapid fire on some other issues I want to cover with you. First of all, an Iranian lawmaker and cleric has said that Iran needs a nuclear weapon necessary to destroy Israel. I thought we were trying to see a relationship develop there in this world.
Well, it was kind of refreshing for me, frankly, to see somebody speak so honestly, because, you know, what we have in President Rouhani is a man that, as Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has pointed out, wrote a book in which he said we need to have a more moderate face, public face. We need to talk to the world and to the West with more moderation and less. You know, Ahmadinejad before him was known for his bombastic statements, but we continue with our nuclear program all the time. And so the president said that. Now we're getting some other honest comments that they want a nuclear bomb and they want it to destroy Israel. Well, they have hinted at that so many times by telling us, Ayatollah Khamenei and others, Tel Aviv will be wiped out, Haifa will be wiped out, Israel will be destroyed. So again, It's just another layer on the table, as it were, that will I think make Prime Minister Netanyahu take military action sometime, I believe, this year, but we'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, in Israel itself, John Kerry, having made about 10 or 11 trips in trying to kickstart the peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians, howbeit now there's a Palestinian leader saying this U.S. brokered deal is the first step in the total destruction of Israel. I mean, what kind of a peace partner is that?
Well, again, that's the PLO's long-held position of the staged plan, or phased plan, it's called, and that is to, stage by stage, little by little, take Israel out of the picture. They know that Israel's too powerful militarily, it's got close allies that are powerful, etc. They can't just destroy it in one go. Now, of course, they could with a nuclear bomb, but the problem with the nuclear bomb, as one of my Palestinian friends in the old city of Jerusalem pointed out, is it would kill all of them, too. So it would kill all the Arabs off, as well as the Jews. So the phase plan, take it piece by piece. Yes, some are thinking this Kerry's plan is part of that. However, we had a warning from John Kerry that if the PA doesn't sign some sort of a peace deal, American funding for it may be cut off. So, you know, there's pressure coming upon them as well, but we'll see what happens. But again, as I've said many times, I don't see this peace process going anywhere very fast. And again, they still want to see Israel destroyed.
David Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, suggesting the possibility of a unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state. Is that a real threat or just a big bluff?
Well, they've done it. He made that announcement essentially at the United Nations over 2 years ago, and nothing changed on the ground. And, you know, the Israelis have always said, and others have said, the Obama administration has said, and others, to the Palestinians, look, declarations are one thing, but, you know, you can't obviously have a functioning, viable state if your neighbor right next to you is not cooperating or helping you at all. You can't, and certainly you can't set up such a state in land that your neighbor controls unless they agree to it. You have to have an agreement. So that's the whole thought behind the peace process. But again, this is like number 10 on Netanyahu's list of priorities right now, Iran being number one, staying out of the Syrian war, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Hamas in the Gaza Strip, what's going on in Egypt, what's going on in Saudi Arabia, what might happen in Jordan. These are all more important to Israel right now than the Palestinians or a final peace treaty. It seems like a terrible time to do it, and the risk that this will implode and lead to new violence, and we have seen, as you know, an escalation of attacks in the past month, are very high, and one has to wonder, what is the Obama administration thinking?
Well, I was going to ask you that same question. Why are they pressing so hard on this?
It seems ridiculous at this stage, because the chances it will explode, and I'm not just saying this in my own opinion, I'm quoting many Israeli pundits, many Palestinian pundits and others, the chances it will explode into violence and not lead to peace but to an eruption of another uprising are much higher than that it will lead to a peace treaty. So everyone's saying that, so why are they doing it? I'm mystified. I have to note, Jimmy, that the worst cold snap in this country in 20 years came the very day that John Kerry was arriving in Israel to again press for the Israelis to give up a part of their holy city, Jerusalem, to Muslims. That's the bottom line that has to be met if this peace treaty is going to happen. And I believe, and I know you do, that's not the will of God. That's not what the scriptures say. And I think judgment is looming on this country if we keep pressing upon this.
I would have to say amen to that. Give me 15 seconds. There's some positive news coming out of Israel. 2013, a record year for Israeli tourism.
3.5 million people, the highest number ever, Jimmy, and Jerusalem was the main city visited. There is good news in the midst of all the bad news, and that is certainly the case. And, of course, Pope Francis coming in May, that's expected to attract hundreds of thousands of Catholic tourists to Israel, mainly from South America, where he's from. So that's expected to be a real boost as well.
And Prophecy Today is taking a tour in April. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to Joshua Travel. You can get the information, the itinerary, the cost, the times, the dates, etc. That's prophecytoday.com, Joshua Travel. David Dolan with our Middle East News update, staying on top of what's happening in that region, that very important region of the world. David, thank you so very much, my good friend.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.